Where am I? Pia Jameson wondered, turning on the light and looking around the beautifully appointed yet unfamiliar room. A momentary burst of panic rushed her body, replaced her morning grogginess, and cleared the way for the facts. It was December 7th, and she was in Annapolis, Maryland, at the Lowe's Hotel, a two-hour Acela train ride away from her chic New York apartment. The panic was unusual. Waking up in lonely hotel rooms in strange cities had been a part of her life for years now. As a senior vice president at Sunfire Productions, she was constantly on the road, traveling to the far corners of the globe, overseeing the making of million-dollar videos for some of the biggest names in the music business. From Mary J. to Madonna, from Seal to Sting, from Alicia to Beyoncé to Ciara. It was her job to make sure that the images and music of these artists were presented as attractively as possible. It was a tough job, and success had cost her plenty. A family of her own, for starters. But after nearly 14 years, it was one she did well and still adored. Interview Theo Johnson, she reminded herself. Pia glanced over at the clock and noted with a groan that it was only 7:47 a.m. She wasn't supposed to meet with Theo until noon. If her fretful mind would only cooperate with her body, she'd have at least another 3 hours of sleep. Pia wanted and needed to look as beautiful and as fresh as possible for this encounter. Her future was riding on it. Calm down, she instructed herself. If he turns it down, there are others on the list. There is no such thing as only one man for the job. Nervous energy led her from the bed onto the floor to commence her daily yoga exercises. Standing straight, her arms in prayer position, Pia tried to calm herself by repeating a new mantra. It's just an interview. It's just an interview. Arching back and then gracefully diving forward and placing her hands on the floor and her head on her knees, she stretched her body and tried to determine just who she was kidding. She was hoping that Theo would at least hear her out and consider the position, while knowing full damn well that his interest and acceptance had everything to do with her ability to enticingly sell herself. This could be a problem. Pia Jameson could sell a skinny teenager with a mouth full of gold, as well as the inability to pronounce most words of the King's English, as a worldwide sex symbol, but sell herself? On this front, her confidence sagged. Pia finished her sun salutation and moved to the full-length mirror to inspect herself. Even in her just-out-of-bed state, Pia still had it going on, she had to admit. Her mocha-glazed skin was smooth and wrinkle-free, a sign she was aging well. The notable features of her face came together in a pleasing mosaic of interesting angles. The shapely pout of her mouth and slightly flared nostrils of her dignified nose balanced the stop-and-look beauty of her most striking feature. Large, wide-set, golden-brown feline eyes that appear to hold the mysteries of the universe in their gaze. All this loveliness was framed by a head full of healthy black hair, cut fashionably short and fringed. Her arms, legs, and butt were toned from years of practicing healthy eating and yoga. Gravity had been kind to her round and still firm breasts, and Pia's stomach, never stretched to its maximum by pregnancy, was still flat. Tight abs were a coveted prize by most women her age, but for Pia, they were a daily reminder of the baby she'd always wanted but hadn't gotten around to having. You can't have a baby until you start having sex, she told her image. Girl, face it, you are a no-sex-having total used-to-be. It used to be, as any man familiar with her womanly wiles would testify, that Pia Clarice Jameson was built for sex. It used to be that Pia, closer to 41 than most realized, had a dangerous combination of sexual expertise and unbridled lust. She had the wisdom of more than 20 years of erotic experience, and up until a few years ago, had the confidence and technique to work both mind and body to their best advantage. In the old days BC, before celibacy, Pia had never met a man who, if she had the will, could resist her way. It used to be that seducing a man into bed or the back of a limo was second nature to Pia, and her list of whooped suitors was discerning and distinguished. But that was years ago, a damn lifetime ago. Today, she was standing in a hotel room three states from home, hoping to snag Mr. Right. But now, having gone from super sexual to damn near asexual, Pia had no idea how to attract what she needed to get what she wanted.